We've got a little bit from Joshua, where they were circumcising a new generation of men entering into the promised land there. And then we could have had Genesis 17, when this action of circumcision was first given from the Lord to the ancient church family. And then we've got that little reading there in Luke where Jesus himself, as this little baby, receives this sign of circumcision. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. So really, our verse is Luke 2 and verse 21, really. But also thinking about the Joshua reading, that the ancient church had crossed over the Jordan River and was going into the promised land, and it was a new beginning for them. They left Egypt behind, the first generation, and the first generation was supposed to have had the new beginning straight into the promised land. But if you remember, they weren't up for it. They were like, nah, we can't do it. We can't defeat the giants. They were still really hearts in Egypt. They weren't ready for a new beginning. But 40 years on, there's a whole new generation, and they are ready for a new beginning. They cross over the Jordan River, one of Jonathan's favourite bits in the whole Bible, the crossing of the Jordan. And then on the other side, the mark that it's time for a new beginning, we might say, how would you mark the new beginning? Well, this was what it meant. It says, let's do circumcision. Because all this new generation, the men haven't been circumcised. So there's like all this circumcision happened. And we might say, what's that got to do with having a new beginning? Well, that's what we're going to find out. And then they had a Passover and everything. So people people want to make a new beginning in the new year. So 8 days on from the birth of Jesus, because circumcision was done to the little boys on the eighth day. So 8 days on from Christmas, that's the day when Jesus was circumcised. But it's the 1st of January, and it's the New Year day. And it's, in that sense, perfect in that, because everyone wants to make a kind, not everybody, but it's so common. You want to make a new beginning. It's a new year, new you. That's the great title in all the newspapers when the Sunday supplements. It's full of things like new year, new you, new habits, new exercise regimes, new everything. It's all that. We'll maybe lose some weight, save money, pay off debts, get rid of bad habits, learn new ones, get an app that helps you learn habits. And there's all the apps now. It's not so much books, it's you get apps to make a new you of you. Learn a new language, organise the spare room, take up a sport, do better at work, get new skills. All of that. And the idea is it's new year, new year, new you. But the illusion with that, and we know it, but we can still get caught up into it ourselves. But the problem with it is that the human heart, who we really are, our real, you know, the real depth of the human person, is beyond the reach of new year resolutions. We know that actually, but we get caught up into it. We're like, oh, it's a new me. And whatever is the list, one, we don't ever get anywhere with the list. That's the biggest problem. And like Confederate, it's like, oh yeah, now of course I did say I was going to do that. Or maybe we do keep one. And we get, but are we a new me? Is it a new me? Our true problems are not on the surface of those sort of things, new wardrobe, new habits. Now, the real us is much, much deeper than that. What is human nature? We were created to drink in the very life of God. Like, one of the things is, make a new you, and this is what Jonathan's saying, have 6 glasses of water a day. Drink in the water, and that will be a new you. And I'm like, no, of course. And Jonathan's quite right. If I've got a headache, he's always, have you drunk enough water? Almost invariably, I haven't. So it's like, no, that's a good thing. But the real nature of human being and our depth is not just to drink more water. really what human beings are about is drinking in the life of God. The life of God is what we were designed to drink. And when we don't do that, we try to quench that thirst with all kinds of things, and it doesn't work. We were designed to drink in the life of God, to live in harmony with the whole cosmos, and to live with the light of love connecting us to each other, and to live each day as an adventure with the Lord Jesus. And if all that's true of human beings, so that each human being we meet is this extraordinary cosmic creation, connected to God and designed to connect to all things like that. Every human being we meet is a marvel. If all that is true, and that is the biblical vision for human beings, well then our deepest needs can't be fixed just with New Year resolutions. We need a completely new life. Born again, as the Bible puts it, united to have a new, to have born into a different kind of life. Or, to use another biblical image, to put to death the old life we've had, natural life, put that to death, and have a resurrection by the power of Jesus into his kind of life, divine, right life. So at the beginning of January, it is traditional for most churches around the world to remember this circumcision of Jesus. And why? Why? What's the circumcision of Jesus got to do with new beginnings? Feels like it's a bit odd, isn't it? To be doing this weird thing to a little baby, cutting a bit off. And what's that got to do with anything? It's just a bit weird, isn't it? Well, it is actually all about new beginnings. The circumcision of Jesus tells us why new resolutions and better habits cannot make us into genuinely new people. They can have some good effect. Yeah, sure, it's better to do so. But you're not a new person. You're not a fundamentally new person. We cannot find life, real eternal life, through just new resolutions or even new habits. We can make superficial changes, of course, and they will maybe good and proper in their own way. But fundamentally, it's still me. It's still me. No matter what changes to our eating, exercising, working, living, thinking, we cannot change ourselves into immortal, pure, righteous human beings who live the life of God and know the fellowship of the Father, Son, and Spirit. None of these changes are going to bring about that. Whatever New Year resolutions we make, I mean, the hard truth is this is as the Bible puts it, it would say, make all those changes you wish, but without this fundamental Jesus change, we're still sinful people dying, heading into the darkness of an eternal lost hell. I mean, that's the solemn truth of it. All these things don't affect that. My biggest problem is me. Whether I am fatter or thinner, more organized or more chaotic, whether I jog every day or not, I'm still me with that human heart, a wicked heart, corrupt imagination, selfishness, all of that. That's the human heart with flesh that fights against the spirit every minute of the day. And soon, all human beings, we will die, often, you know, much quicker than we imagined. We will die and face the weight of eternity. How will we bear that? It's not relevant then whether we jogged or whether we keto diet or whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not relevant to eternity. So the circumcision of Jesus when he was 8 days old is telling us, and just stick with this for a minute, because it's superficial, you'll say, I can't see how that's got anything to do with life. No, no, wait. It's what it's about in the context of the whole Bible is telling us that there isn't a way to patch up human life to make it ready to receive the life of God, ready for eternity. You can't patch up the old kind of natural human life to say, oh, well, if I patch it up, it will be ready to enter into eternity and drink in the life of God. It's saying, no, that you can't do that. Human, natural, dying human life cannot be patched up for such immense future. This old life of mine, with the selfishness, the sin, the natural human life, it has to be cut off, thrown away, put to death. That's what circumcision, the word really just means a cutting off. A cutting off. That's what circumcision is about then. Cutting off the old life, putting it to death, and crying out to the God who has died and risen to say, I have to die. You have to kill me with your death and rise me up again to a new kind of life, the kind of life that is out of my reach, beyond my resolutions. Only you can give me the new, genuinely new life that is required for eternity. I need a new life, a new creation, as the Bible calls it. A new humanity. That's another way the Bible calls it. A new humanity. A life that's free from selfishness and sin, free from death and sorrow. A life that's hidden in God Himself. A life belonging to another world, another age. Eternal life. So, Luke 2:21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. So yeah, sometimes this sort of aspect of the Bible, these kind of things to do with body, bits of the body and blood and things like that, people, oh, I don't really like that sort of thing in the Bible. It seems a bit unspiritual to me. Circumcision, menstrual cycles, clean and unclean, blood, sacrifice, fire. To me, I like all the spiritual thing. Well, in the Bible, that is the spiritual stuff. And it's a bit of a shock because it's like, well, I don't really like that sort of thing. Yeah, but it's massive in the Bible, that sort of thing. And it's very earthy. Very earthy, the Bible. And it is really saying, these parts of the body that were loads of human problems and desires and passions and tragedies are based. Yeah, let's not be squeamish. Let's face up to this stuff and talk about it and think about it and take all this stuff seriously. Circumcision, one of the deepest, most spiritual things in the Bible. So when Abraham was 99 years old, it's 4,000 years ago this happened, 4,000 years ago. The Lord God, and it was Jesus before he became a human being, the God the Son appeared to Abraham and gave him this physical sign of church membership, cutting off this piece of flesh from the males, even when they were 8 days old, and that was church membership then. And it wasn't just the like genetic descendants of Abraham. It says in verses 12 to 13 of Genesis 17, it was for anybody who joined that ancient church family, anybody, whether they were Jew or Gentile, you know, anyone in the world could join this ancient church family, but this was the alpha course that you were to go on, and it's sort of a it gives that a slightly different feel, doesn't it? And that's important to remember, because sometimes people go, oh, circumcision, it's just a kind of ancient tribal ethnic thing. And I'm like, well, you know, not in the Bible. In the Bible, it's a super spiritual thing that's got for everybody. It's not just something to be written off as tribal. I heard someone very recently said that, and I'm like, what do you mean by that? Because in the Bible, it was for anybody. It's not just genetics or things like that. No, it was never about genetics or whether you've got a genetic connection to Abraham. It's never that. It was always to do with this, do you trust the Lord God? Do you trust in this promised Messiah? Do you believe that's your only hope of getting rid of the old life and finding a new one? Do you believe? That's what it was always about. Circumcision, the sign of church membership. Remember this then. If we were, and I said it just a minute ago, but I'll say it again. If we were designed to live the very life of God, to live forever in this wondrous universe as family members of the living God, we were created to share the eternal life of God. And I like that Daniel phrase when he says, we're created to do exploits in his name. Yeah, what does he have? What? Do exploits in the name of God? He's like, yeah, that's what we're for eternal greatness and glory and life. But what we've become, naturally speaking, human life is so much less than that. Sin, what is that? It's selfishness. It's the short-term deceitful desires that drag us down into darkness and death. Sin, constantly falling short of the glory of God. Cut off from life. It's the reason we die. So circumcision means this cutting off, and this business of cutting off, you know, because, so put it this way, circumcision, if it means cutting off, sin cuts us off from the life of God. See, that language of cutting off, it's really big in the Bible. Like, again, a covenant in the Bible isn't signed. We would sign a legal agreement. In the Bible, they cut a covenant. It's the language of cutting again. I mean, there's reasons for that. That's deep. But it's even like that language of cutting things is even in the concept of a covenant. You cut a covenant. You cut things off. We are cut off from God by our sin. And things are cut. It's deep, this language of cutting off and things cut. Because of what we've done, because of what we've become, the Bible says we're cut off from the life of God. And so the remedy is, it's like saying, so what we need is that life, that kind of human being that we've become, needs to be cut off, thrown away. And somehow we need to receive a new kind of life that isn't cut off from God. How's that possible? That's the business of Jesus. That's what it's all about, the way he took upon himself our life, our mess. He said, I know how to cut that off and find a new one so that you can be rescued, so that you're not cut off. I can cut off your old life without cutting you off. That's what the whole death and resurrection of Jesus is about. He says, I know how to do the impossible, to cut off your old life, the old flesh, but keep you, and give you a new life. And so that little mark of circumcision, it's really, was saying 4,000 years ago, let's cut off a little bit of flesh and throw it away. And by that, we're saying this natural flesh has to be cut off and thrown away, and we need some new kind of life from God. We don't know how, we can't do that. But Lord God, you've told us you can. We trust that you will. And then Jesus himself had that sign done to him, taking it on and saying, yes, everything that was in this sign, I'm taking that on and I'll deliver. It's awesome. We've ruined what we were. We cannot repair ourselves. Only the living God can do it. God was cut off on the cross. So remember that bit where he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying, I'm cut off now from God. I'm cut off from God. Why did he do that? Because that's what it required. He's like, I'll cut off all that you naturally are and deal with it. But keep you. I'll find a way to keep you, even as I cut off that old kind of human life. It's all there. He took our sinful life as his own, cut it off in death and darkness when he was killed on the cross. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That's what this Feast of Circumcision is about. And as we begin this new year, that's why we meditate on this, to say, now we do need, we want a new year, we new you, and we want, take that seriously. Don't settle for like a new diet. Whatever, do those things if you want, but don't think those things are actually fundamentally changing you. The fundamental change that we need is the life of God that we can't bring about through, you know, a makeover or a new diet or any of those things. No, the living God must do this. And there's this phrase that I came across this week. If we insist on holding on to our old life and just trying to fix it and patch it up, then we will end up in death, darkness, and hell. And we will even experience something of that even before we die. Something of that darkness and damnation will feel it even now before we die. So if we insist on saying, no, I can fix this life, that's what it will lead to, that attitude. It will lead to destruction. But if we are fed up with our own mess and we're ready to find a genuinely new life that is a sheer gift of God, the very eternal life of God himself given to us in Jesus, then, even this very day, we have this chance to say, no, I'm finished with the old life. I need a new creation, a new world, a new humanity. And only the Lord Jesus can give me that. I know that. I've tried over and over to make a new life myself. And I never can. I never can. I just believe my only hope is that God can and has done that. And all this fuss about a cross and resurrection, that is where I can find it, and there's nowhere else. You know, we can't resolve to live perfectly from now on. We sometimes even say that. Lord, I'm so sorry for this sin. I'll never do it again. It's a lie. We can't make such a promise. And he doesn't require it of us. He knows. He knows what we can actually deliver. And what we can actually deliver is, in a way, to just fall before him with all our mess and brokenness and say, this is all I've got. You're my only hope. I trust you. We don't have to promise that we can, from now on, we'll be perfect. Such a promise is ridiculous. It's a vain thing. See, if we imagine that vain promises of a new year, a new me, if we think that that will make us right, we're actually insulting the living God. If it cost him his own blood to do this thing to make us right, what makes us think that merely learning new daily patterns or something is enough? Now he calls to us, he loves us, he welcomes us. He even knocks at the door of our heart, sort of thing, and says, just open up. Open up. And I will come in all your weariness and mess, let me in. Because I'm your only hope. So instead of trying to make ourselves new, and dragging ourselves into guilt and shame and frustration. This day, this Sunday, as we begin a new year, we want to trust in Jesus and follow his commands and say, today, if we hear his voice, we don't want to harden our hearts. Today, we turn away from our sin and emptiness and hold on to Jesus, whose blood and death and resurrection can give us a new future. Today, we confess our flesh must be cut off. And we daily need that new bread, the new life, the Spirit of the living God. Well, I've got a little thought for it, a little thing that we might want to contemplate as we've come to the end of the sermon. Therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be ascribed all the praise, all the glory, all the worship, all the honour, now and forever. Amen.